Today, brethren, I would like to share with you something, I think, from last year, from the time we went to the conference to date. It's been sort of going on. It's been the same old pattern, you know, that has been going on for some time. And today, I'm just going to draw just ideas from one or two people who gave sermons on this line. So I've just put them together, and then I'll share with you what I have prepared today. I have titled it, "It's Our Identity and Characteristics in Christ." Our identity and characteristics in Christ. At the conference, we were told of our identity in Christ. And in everything or name, especially in every name, there are characteristics pertaining to that name. If I should say Kofi Sechi Esrifi, those who come from my area will know something about that name. Yes, Kofi Ansa. People who come from that area will know something about that name. So when God gave the name Israel to that nation, they had some characteristics. What is a name? A name, from my study, I came across five groups of definitions. The first group says appellation, denomination. And so, when something like Grace Communion International is a name, but you see something in there that denotes something, Grace Communion International. It's a name, but it denotes something. Two, the second group says distinction, fame, and praise. That's another definition for name. The third group says character and reputation. And that is where I want to dwell from that one, the third. The fourth one is call, denominate. And the fifth one is identity, and then mention. So today I want to dwell on two of this, identity and character. We are called by a name. You know, in the first century Christian era, the Christians were called the Way, those who were of the Way. And then in Antioch, that was where the first name Christian came, because they said they looked like Christ, characteristic. So today I want us to see our identity and then some of our characteristics. And when we see this, then we will then come to the point where our brother Peter ended. The bless. Hallelujah. I'm surprised we didn't come to any agreement. We didn't see each other when you were preparing yourself, your sermon. But at the end of the sermon, brethren, we will see how we are blessed in Christ. Hallelujah. I gave out some sheets. Brethren, names are very important. They show who, what, and where an individual or thing comes from or belong to. We'll first look at the Hebrew language. It's so peculiar. The Hebrew language is one language that is different from all languages. If you are able to grasp it, I think it helps you in the study of the Bible. I know it's not mandatory, it's not forced that you should learn. I'm doing some course in Hebrew. It's helping me to you know, understand. So first, I want us to look at the word God, yeah, in the Hebrew language. And at this point, I've given you that sheet because that sheet will be helpful to us. That is what we will use. Forget about the letters, the Aleph, the Bet, they are there. If you Google it, you'll get it. But every Hebrew letter has a picture, and it is called pictogram, the Hebrew pictogram. So when you look at the copies I have given out, if you have a copy, look in there. You see the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Its picture is the head of an ox. It's called Aleph. Aleph has a picture of an ox. The second one is Bet. And it's also like a house. The third one, Gimel, like a foot. Dalet, and then so on. Now, let's look at the word, for example, Abba in the Bible. The spelling is A-B-B-A. So here, let's go to A-B-B-A. A is Aleph, the picture of an ox. B, Bet, is a house. So if the ox or the strength or leader is the leader of the house. So Abba Father, when we say Abba Father, that means the leader of the house. Do you get it? So when you are praying and you say Abba Father, yes, he's a strong leader of the house. Now, we are called by the Lord's name. When God met Moses in the by the fire, the burning fire, he told Moses, by my name Yahweh, they did not know. They knew God by name Almighty, the El Shaddai, but by his name Yahweh, they did not know. So he said, go and tell them Yahweh has sent me. God has sent me. We say God or Lord. But Yahweh, which is in the Hebrew, Yud, is Y-H-W-H. Yeah? They don't have vowels. So it's Yud, He, Vav, He. Yud, He, Vav, He. Now, we are going to see the meaning of that name from the pictogram. And when we see that name, yeah, we will know who he is. Yud. Yud here is what? It says what? Arm or hand. So work or deed. So it's the hand. Yud. Y-O-D. You say the hand. And he in Hebrew language or in the Hebrew numerical is like a window. Opening is like grace or spirit. So here, hey, that's H-E-Y, he says, lo, behold, or death. The Hebrews understand it as the spirit. You know, when Sarah was Sarai, the last end of his name was what? I. Until the H, hey, was added and it became Sarah. So it's like the spirit was added, or the grace was added. So they see it as grace, number five, as grace, spirit of God. Abraham was Abram, and then the He was added, and it became Abraham. Grace was added. So the hand, the grace, or hand of grace, and then the W, you'd A Vav, that's what they call it. They pronounce it as Vav. And the Vav, V-A-V, is what? Nail, peg, add, and. Eh? Do you see it? So Yud, He, Vav, He is the hand that was what? Nail. And whose hand was nailed on the cross? Christ.
Now, when I learned this, this revelation became my foundation. No one can ever convince me that Christ is not God. No one can ever convince me that Christ is not God, brethren. Even in their letters, language, it is shown plainly here, the hand that was made. So we know Yud Hey Vav Hey, God is Christ. When he said, I am that I am, they were marveled. So now, brethren, we know who we are. If we are identified by that name, yeah, the first one that I want to establish now is your identity, where you are and who you belong to. And we have been accepted in the beloved. God looks on us and he sees Christ. He doesn't see my old nature. He sees a new person because I am a new creation. That is who we are in God's eyes. So now, our first point is that we are Christ because we know him. He is the one that was nailed on the cross for us. We know him. Now, if we belong to Christ, then I'm coming to the second part, the characteristics. Then there are some things that Christ have and we also do what we have, isn't it? If that name, Yahweh, Christ, we belong to him, yeah? Then, or we are named after him, then definitely there are some characteristics that we also must have. Hallelujah. So now, we have seen this. Not quite long ago, our elder, Mr. Jima, gave a sermon about the family of God. We belong to that family. It's very important. If you belong to that family, then definitely have some characteristics of the family, don't you? Very good. Not long ago, our pastor Barry also started a series on the portrait of Jesus Christ. And in his letter to the church members, he quoted this scripture, Matthew chapter 16. Brethren, let's go there. And this scripture is on everything, every book that I have. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15. It's about Jesus asking the Pharisees, the disciples, about him. So he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Brethren, that's one question I always ask myself. Okay, now I know Jesus is God. Who do I, Kofi, say he is? Who do you say that he is? That's your personal question you have to answer personally when you are alone. And your answer is your key. Your answer to that question is your key. Because the moment you answer that question, that is how you will live. I tell you, brethren, that is how you will live. That is how your faith begins. So when Peter answered that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the way. You see, that was when Peter's destiny changed. Because then the prophecy came to Peter. His life was told then. It was like an open page. You will be this, you will be that, and upon you I will do this, I will do that. His destiny was shown him there. So the moment you answer that question, your destiny also be open to you, brethren. So that's a crucial thing. And I want you to answer based on what you have seen today from the people themselves, from their own letters. Who Christ is? So you know that yes, he is God. Then if he is God, that takes us to another level. Brother, there are so many characteristics. If I were to go on, there will be many. But in your own Bible studies, you just, you know, go through some of them, because this is what I have chosen, the line, you know, excuse my sermon. Yeah. But you may also find some during your own studies. And the next level is in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the book that theologians are not able to say who wrote it, but the Spirit, it tells us who wrote it. Yes, we know it is Paul. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I know my sister. There are some things I know when I go to her, I'll get it. Why? I know her. And I know her ability. And I know, you know, it's like the belief, that is the key word, the belief I have in her. Look, we now know Christ, we know him, we know God. Now the next level, it's your belief that what you go to him for, you will get it. It's practical. It's everyday life. My daughter comes to me, Daddy, this is it. You see, she doesn't think it, and she doesn't think of that. She comes to you, and you see, when I use everyday life. These are the simple things. They come to you, and Daddy, I want this. Believing that I'll get that thing for her. How much more our Father in heaven? He said, if we sinners, we know how to give good things to our children, how much more your Father in heaven? So from our belief, and I tell you, every Christian has a level of faith. You know, before you become a Christian, it says if you have faith. Yeah? Before you become a Christian, you require faith. But when you are a Christian, now you operate from a level of faith. Do you get it? He gives us, in Romans 8, he gives us faith according to our level. So the more you use your faith, the more your faith grows. That is it. That's what I say. He who is coming to him must believe that he is. So you see, the setting off requires faith. That is why when Christ was on earth, there were times he was ready to heal. But in the end, only one or two people will be healed. Those who were of faith were healed. And in the Bible, the Gospels, the only two people Christ told them, they were of great faith. And they were all Gentiles. You know that? The two people, you are of great faith. They were all Gentiles. Why? Because they had faith before coming. The woman who touched the hem of his garment. He said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Now, from there, we move on. You move on to the next level. And that is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You see, do you believe you are that? Do you believe you are that? You are that special? I think we don't believe We don't believe, because we don't believe who we are, who we belong to. We don't believe even our friends, our Christian friends. We don't believe them. Because we don't believe who we really are. And this is what Peter is telling us, who we are now. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know what? When I got this new job and I told the lady about my circumstance, she asked me, so how were you surviving on my church? My church was looking after me. Are you sure? I said, what church will do that? I said, yes. She said, Kofi, are you? I said, yes, I'm telling you. It's special. You see, I don't know, but it's high time we become proud of the members we have. It's high time we become proud of the members we have. Back home, if that Jima would tell you, there was a time we had senior, what do you call them, immigration officers. We had a judge. We had, you know, people, all manner of people in the church. And you see, it's like Judge Kwe is gone. You see, and you can tell, that wherever you lack something, when you go, I tell you, God will raise up the people in the church. It's a matter of making use with what we have. This is what we have now. We make use of them. We make use of them. You see, you are precious in God's eyes. And that is what you tell yourself. I am a royal priest. When you are walking, the song we sang, that was a blessing. You know, confess. Confess. Say it. Confess it. I'm royal. I'm special. You tell yourself. Even when you don't know where the next meal is coming from, tell yourself, I'm special. Yes. Now, if that name, we bear that name, Christ, and we have faith, and we come to him, and knowing who we are, the next level, brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Cor 2, we need not belittle ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who? Paul was debating about worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. And this is his conclusion. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Brethren, do you see it? We Christians, we have the mind of Christ. So if now we bear his name, that is our identity. We have faith to come to him, knowing who we are. Then this characteristic, we have it. We have his mind. We have his mind. When the big minds think they are talking, shaping yours, and it will marvel to you what they will receive it. You have the mind. Paul is telling us, don't you? We have the mind of Christ. We don't have worldly mind. We have spiritual mind, Christ mind. So now, if we have the mind of Christ, what we talk. That's why Paul says, husbands, don't treat your wife and wife. It's because when you have the mind of Christ, definitely there should be, you know, happiness at home, but being human as we are, you know. We still have those selfish tendencies there, and, you know. But when, you see, when all this happens, you still tell yourself, look, I have the mind of Christ. Even if it's gone wrong, it can be better. You see? So it doesn't go downwards, downwards. No, it can be better because you have the mind of Christ. You build things up. You don't destroy things. Hallelujah. Now, from that level, you move on to another level. And that level is in the next chapter of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16. When I said 2:16, 3:16, I said, wow, Paul was doing something there.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Oh, wow. So bigger thing now, bigger revelation now. Not that we have the mind of Christ, but that the Spirit itself, the Spirit of God, dwells in us.
This is it.
So you tell yourself, the Spirit of God dwells in us. So I'm not Kofi. The Spirit of God is me. No. I think like Christ. I do things like Christ. Believe yourself. That whatever you do is like Christ, because His Spirit is in you. Paul is telling us, this is who we are. This is who we are. The Spirit is in us.
Now the characteristics, let's get to the last one, and then we'll move to another level. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17.
If we know our identity is in Christ, and we come to Him in faith, believing who we are as royal people, having the mind of Christ, having His Spirit, then we can love like Christ loved. We can do everything that Christ did. That's why Christ said, greater things shall you do. You know, at first, I didn't know. When these things came up, then I said, oh, that's why Christ said, greater things shall you do.
17, 1 John 4. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world.
And I wanted to be sure of this. So the first time I saw this, I checked the tense in the Greek, and it's present. He is, we are, as He is. And picture Christ at the Father's right hand. He's all lovely. So are you all lovely. He's righteous. So are you righteous. He's perfect. So are you perfect. Because in Hebrews, He has perfected us once and for all. Ah! So when we get these things right, then we will start to live right. Brethren, there are many, many other scriptures to help us. It's like we have been forgiven. You know you are forgiven. You know you are forgiven. There are many scriptures that during your studies, you will come up and it will help you. Now, brethren, like we learned the other day, belonging to a family, there are some things or some traits that go with that. And even there are some names that have blessings attached to that. Do you know people marry into family names? Do you know that? They marry because of the family name and stuff like that. Very good. When I saw this, I said, wow. So God said, because My name is on you, I will bless you. Hallelujah. You see, do you now see the link? When you know who He is, and you know why you are called by that name, then definitely you are blessed. You are not alone. You are not like someone who is an orphan. No. You are special. And that brings us to where our brother Peter, you know, introduced us to today. Blessed. And you know what? When you check his, you know, acronym for the structures to pray about. The first one, body. The second one, labor. The third one, emotion. The fourth one, the social and then spiritual.
Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Let's start from verse 1.
It said, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Have you seen this blessing overtaking someone before? We used to have overtaking sleeping, where the person will be sleeping in a moving vehicle, those things. The person will be sleeping and then you just go overboard. We call it overtaking sleeping. But this overtaking blessing, the blessing will overtake you. That even it's before you, the blessing is before you. Whilst you haven't even reached it, it's before you. Hallelujah. "Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." 3. "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body." You get it? Your body. "The produce of your ground, and the increase of your herd, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways." Now, the question is, was Israel able to keep the commandments? No. You see? So all these blessings, he couldn't enjoy it. But Christ came to make the way for us, so that all these blessings, as he says in Galatians, that all the blessings of Abraham will come to us. You see, he became a curse for us, so that we'll be recipient of all these blessings. Hallelujah. 10 is where I love it so much. It says, "Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you." Hallelujah. Because we are called by Christ, that name, Christ, Christians, the Lord will call these blessings on us. Hallelujah. Because we are called by his name, these blessings are ours. That's why I wanted us to know who we are serving, our identity in Christ. And we've seen it. Who we are special. We are special. And if we are special and we have the mind of Christ, we have the spirit of Christ, and as he is, so are we. What then? We shouldn't have that lacking mentality. We shouldn't have that inferiority mentality. We shouldn't have that mourning mentality. Because in the wilderness, our forefathers, they complain and moan. You get it? Yes. And they did not believe. You see, most of the things that he said, God said, "I did everything, but they did not believe." But here, that's what he said, all those who must come must believe that he is there, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Unbelief caused it. But we believe, hallelujah. And that is the difference. 11, "And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Amen.